Well, wasn't this wonderful this morning? Thank you, boys and girls, leaders, and everybody. That was absolutely wonderful. Thank you for doing that. We're going to open our Bibles in a moment to Joshua chapter 1. I'm going to use my privilege as a pastor for a moment to talk about my favorite passage of Scripture, Joshua chapter 1 and verses 1 through 6. And I'm going to give you the reason that we're doing that this morning. Just a moment. So Joshua chapter 1, and we'll start reading together in verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I'm giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous." Be strong and courageous. Let me pray over us for a moment. Father, I pray these words over every family, every person here today, that we may know your courage, your strength in our weakness, your wisdom in our ignorance, your presence in our loneliness and the challenges that we face. Especially today, Father, do I pray for parents and grandparents, those who are impacting our next generation, our youngest people in the church, as we've seen modeled so beautifully today. And I pray that you will give us the grace that we need to do just that. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen, amen. So I'm just going to talk to you for a moment today. I can preach. In fact, I preached a sermon at 9:30. You can find it online. In fact, I'm probably going to just go ahead and just print the manuscript. I don't want you to miss it if you wanted it, but I want to talk to you today. How many of you in here this morning as parents, whether your kids are still home with you or they have moved on, how many of you would raise your hand today and say, "I want to raise," or "I wanted to raise an anxious child"? Would you raise your hand if you want, "I want to raise, I want my child to be anxious"? Anybody? I mean, no hands up at all. I can't see the folks online, but nobody wanted to do that. Nobody tried. And yet, somehow, we're seeing a lot of anxious folks in this world. We're seeing a lot of anxious children in this world. We're not trying to do that, but here's the problem. And I'm always careful, especially as a counselor, when I talk about anxiety, because for some, anxiety is a chemical issue, that's something that's off in their physical system in some way, and it's not in their power to turn it off and on. Most anxiety is something that you learned, and that if you learned it, you are passing it on to your children and to your family. Anxiety is a response to a set of circumstances. And it's not pleasant, it's not easy to deal with, and it can ultimately lead to a lot of other serious problems, depression and suicide, other stuff. But we are a very, very, very anxious culture today. And I'm trying to turn a corner, and I want to start talking to you as parents, grandparents, influencers of children, about how to intentionally stop this. Because what we need are non-anxious parents to raise non-anxious children. An anxious person, an anxious parent, an anxious influencer, an anxious authority figure is not going to influence non-anxious children. Okay? You're not going to make that happen. Your kids, like it or not, are going to learn what you do, not what you say. They're going to watch how you do it, and they're going to do it like you do it. And some people say it's DNA, maybe. I think a lot of times it's just modeling. We learn by imitation. We model. So how do we do this? Because, folks, this is a real problem. In fact, we have the Cove out here today. I'm thrilled beyond words to see the Cove up and running, the things that are happening, the people that we've been able to help in the church, but in the community who have come here for help. And we're just getting started with that, so I hope you'll stay out there. If you need some help, it's a great place to go to find some very specific help for issues that you're dealing with, maybe you're dealing with, struggling with, worry and anxiety, that kind of thing. We have people that would love to talk to you about how to walk through that. If you're struggling with your marriage, there's places out there struggling. Maybe you have cancer. There's some people. We have a cancer support group. We have Celebrate Recovery. We have so many things that are going on that are helping people, and I'm absolutely thrilled as a pastor to see this becoming a reality. So today we kind of focus on that. But I want to talk to you in your home. I want to talk to you and your family. And I want to use the outline, the story of the people of Israel leaving 400 years of slavery in Egypt, walking into a wilderness, walking through a sea that God parted, and then being led to go into a new land that they didn't understand and that they'd never seen before. All right, you understand, as parents today, you are leading children into a world that you haven't seen before, that they haven't seen before. In fact, futurists, people that study the future a number of years ago, they predicted exactly what we're going through today. And they call it, the shorthand, V-U-C-A, they call it VUCA. But basically what they said was, this era that we're in right now is going to be volatile, the uncertain, you, complex, C, and ambiguous, A. That's your children's world. That's the world that they're going to grow up in. You know, I tell parents that just because you have a parent doesn't mean you know how to be a parent. That doesn't guarantee it. You may be having to live past a parent that maybe did not handle things well for you, and you're having to get through that. You struggle with that. And the fact that you were at one time a child doesn't mean you understand what being kids are. You know, your kids, have you ever had that talk with your kids? Now, when I was your age, this is what we did. You know what? Your kids listen to you, and if they're polite, they'll listen to you, and they'll smile and nod, but in their heads they're going, that's quaint, or that's just dumb. What do you mean you had to tie your phone to the wall? What? It's, you might as well have been raised on Venus, okay? They don't, you know, your world that you grew up in is not this world. You did not, most of us in here did not grow up in a volatile, uncertain, complex, and ambiguous world. This is a new thing. This is a brand new deal. And nobody knows how to do this. Nobody knows how to do this. So what that leaves us with is this sense of anxiety about the future. Now, I'm going to give you some reasons today why you don't have to be anxious, but we're anxious. We don't know what the future is going to hold. It's volatile. There's war in Europe. It's volatile. There's war in the United States. We had shootings yesterday. It's volatile. We can't predict the future. We don't know what's going to happen. It's uncertain. It's complex. How do you think about things today? Everything's networked. Everything's connected. It's just hard to figure things out. And it's ambiguous. We've lost our moral bearings. We don't know how to talk about right and wrong anymore. We don't even know how to have the conversation. Everything's ambiguous. So how do you parent into that culture? How do you lead your children into that world? Now, I really think that the Word of God has something for us in Joshua. Because Joshua is preparing to lead a million people, maybe more, into a brand new world that they had never been in before. They were parenting too. They had kids. And they were having to parent in that world. They had to walk into that world. So let me give you four things to think about. Well, I'll have time for three. Let me do three. I'm trying to do a parenting seminar and I'm compressing. So let me give you three things today to think about. First of all, this is the one thing I want you to understand. And let me just give you some things to hang this on. First statement is, don't miss the stage. Don't miss the stage. What stage are you in right now as a parent? Now, some of you have a graduating. Who has a graduating senior in the room? Who's got a graduating senior? Anybody? Nobody? Nobody graduated this year? Okay, we got a few. Okay. Now, I met our seniors on Monday. We had a great time. It's such an impressive class, seniors. Incredible young people. But that's a major stage, you know, when you're letting go of your baby. You know, what you're supposed to do, the Bible says that children are like arrows in the hands of a mighty man, of a warrior. And you know what you're supposed to do with arrows? You collect them and keep them home, right? You hang on to them. You get as many as you can and you hang on to them. So you're still taking care of them when they're 40 years old. You know, that's what you want to do, right? No. What do you do with an arrow? You fire it into the enemy's camp. But what do you have to do to fire the arrow? Parents, let go of it. Wow. What? I have to let go? Well, they're not ready. I know there were parents of seniors sitting in that celebration Monday night going, my baby's not ready to go to college. Not ready. You know, we worry about our kids even after they leave home. And one lady was meeting with the dean of colleges at the college her son was getting ready to go into as a freshman. And she asked for a personal meeting with the dean, and she sat with him, and she said, now my Donnie, she said, I want you to understand, Donnie's a very sensitive boy. And I want to make sure he has a roommate that's not going to be a bad influence on him, because he's very easily influenced, and I just want to make sure that we don't put some wild person in the room with him, you know, because Donnie's never been away from home before, except for those 4 years in the Marine Corps, you know, and but moms worry, don't we, moms? I mean, don't y'all? Don't you worry? We worry. Okay, we worry about our kids even after they leave home. But what stage are you parenting in right now? Let me give you some thoughts about these stages, because they all change. You know, the fact that you could teach a preschooler how to hold a spoon doesn't mean you know how to raise a middle schooler. The stages change, right? We go through stages. And interestingly, the book of Numbers chapter 33, verses 1 and 2, tells us that the Lord led the people of Israel in stages. These are the stages of the people of Israel. These are, and you know, the word in some translations is journeys, but an author named Robert Morgan pointed out, and I never saw this before, but he pointed out that it's stages. They're talking about stages. So we parent in stages. That's what I'm saying. Don't miss the stage. Which stage are you in? Now, when your children are young and you're home with your kids and they're young, you know what you are? You are like an Olympic coach. You are micromanaging everything they do, what they eat, when they go to bed, when they get up, who they're with. You listen, if you know anything about how Olympic athletes are trained when they're younger, brought up, you are that. That is you. You are an Olympic coach up until the next stage, Now, I can't put a number. There's no marker I can put up. But at a certain point, and I'm going to tell you something, it's starting younger and younger and younger, your kids will begin to run their own race. Their life has begun. Now, let's just, I'm going to make you comfortable. Just say, well, it's probably when they're 13, 14. Could be younger than that. But they're running their race. Let me tell you what I mean by running their race. They're already making decisions without you there. They're already making big choices without you to tell them what to do. They're being forced into situations sometimes that, well, we hope you got them ready for it, but no parent's perfect. Nobody is. Nobody perfectly parents. We've all messed it up. Okay? So there's no perfect parents. Forgive yourself. There's no perfect parents. But you're coaching like an Olympic coach. That's a top-down kind of leadership when they're younger. You are looming over them. You are watching what they do. And you know, and one of the stages you have to go through is learning. You know, we when our kids are young, what are we doing all the time? We're watching. Where's Bobby? Well, he's in the closet. What's he doing? You know, we're always watching. Where's the kid? Watch your kid. Watch. But then you know what happens? There's a certain stage that comes along. And you know what happens at that stage? Now, that child needs to begin to pay more attention to you than you do to them. Wouldn't that be fun? You know, that's the plan. The plan is not for you to continue to have to watch and manage everything they're doing throughout their life. At a certain point, they need to be far more interested in watching you than you are in watching them. Now, maybe you have missed that stage. I don't want you to miss the stage, okay? Because you're thinking, well, I still have to do. No. Listen, again. They're running their race now. Now, what happens when they start running their race? Well, I'll tell you a couple of things that's happening while they're running the race. Their worldview is already in place. And let me tell you where the worldview, the Christian worldview starts. The Christian worldview starts by saying, in the beginning, God created. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and God made humanity, male and female, He created them. And that's a Christian worldview. Does your child embrace that? Well, you're about to find out. Because they're running their race now. So where are you? Well, you're in one of two places. If you've missed the stage, you are out there on the track with them. You're running with them. You're running with them. And you know what you're really doing? You're getting in their way. All right, you're complicating their lives because now you're not the Olympic coach anymore. Now you're the sideline coach. Now you sit on the sidelines. And you know, if you've watched the race, you know, watch these athletes, they want their coach close because if they run into a problem, they don't know how to do a certain move, they don't know how to get their best speed, whatever, they'll pull out of the race and say, "Coach, what do I do here? How do I handle this? How do I address this situation?" That's what you are now. Now you're the coach. And you know what else you're doing? You're going, go. You're doing it. You got it. Go at it. You're doing this right. And if they fall down, guess what? You can run out on the track and say, "Come on, honey, you know, pull them off the track. Let's fix you up." But you get them back in the race. They're running the race. Folks, this is the way God intended. I'm giving you a biblical outline. This is the way God intended parenting to be. We're making it a whole lot harder than we need to. They're running the race. They're making choices that they will have to bear the consequences for. Well, what if they make the wrong decision? They will. Why? You did. You lost count of the number of wrong decisions you've made. And they will too. And you know what? They'll survive. They'll be okay. All right, that's going to happen. Now they're running their race. You're like a shepherd now. You're alongside them, okay? So in the first stage, you're over top of them. Second stage, you're running alongside them, okay? You're off on the sidelines and you're encouraging them in their run. And you're helping them. Now it's not just you're teaching them Bible lessons. Now they are learning to apply the values and the morals that you taught them at home. They have to learn how does this work in life? And they're working that out in that second stage. Don't miss the stage. Third stage. Where do you go in the third stage? To the grandstand. Because by the third stage, they've already got other voices in their life that they're listening to, and you can talk to them, but they're not going to pay attention to you. But let me tell you what they will pay attention to. They want to know you're cheering for them. I took my granddaughter out the other day. We were at a park, and I think she's going to be a gymnast. She's going to be an Olympic athlete, I'm sure. But anyway, she's really strong. She's, you know, doing this stuff, and I brag on her when she's, you know, when she's pulling herself along, and it's really impressive. And so she wanted to go to the park and play, and I mean, she just will like climb until she has blisters on her hands. But she's watching, and I'm doing what grandpas do. I'm sitting in the cheering section just because I need to sit. So I went over to the bench, and I'm letting her play on the monkey bar. You know, she's having a great time on the gym set, and you know, just pulling herself along. And she'd every now and then she'd say, "Poppy, are you watching?" I said, "Yeah, I'm watching." And then she did it a couple of times. Then she ran over to me, and she said, "Poppy, do you want to watch closer?" So I said, "Yes, honey, I want to watch closer." So, but let me tell you, parents, let me tell you what they will always need from you. They will always need you cheering for them. They will always need you saying, "Way to go, I'm so proud of you." Whether your parents, grandparents, they need that, okay? You're not being a bad parent by saying, but folks, this is the design of, we are making our children anxious by not letting go of them. Let them, they have to get out. They have to make decisions. They have to learn to make choices. Now, some of you are really shooting your own arrows at me right now. So, oh, boy, if I had a bow and arrow, I'd hit that guy. I know this is not the way you're seeing things. And I'm not a parenting expert. Please know that. I have two really great kids, but I'm going to tell you, when Pam and I were parenting, we didn't know what we were doing. What do you do when you don't know what you're doing? You get on your knees, you say, "Lord, help us. We don't know what we're doing. Show us. We don't know how to do this. We don't know how to make this decision." And God will do that. Don't miss the stage. Secondly, God led the people of Israel by stages, but the second thing, he led them by steps, okay? So they take a step. This is what God said to Joshua. "Joshua, every place you step, every place the sole of your foot touches is going to be yours. But you take a step. You follow the steps." And they had the Ark of the Covenant being carried by four priests who were leading this millions plus people. They were leading these people. They were a quarter of a mile ahead of them, so everybody could see the Ark moving. And as the Ark was moving, the people moved. And when it stopped, they stopped. Well, God said, "Tell the priest to walk into the flooded waters on the bank of the Jordan River and stand there." Well, they had to take a step of faith because there was water, and they didn't know how much water, and they were carrying this big box. And they had to take a step of faith, but follow the prayer, just follow them. The ark represented the presence of God. You take the steps. Listen, don't get ahead of your skis. You know what happens when you get ahead of your skis, your skiing? You go down. We get ahead of our skis all the time. Sometimes we move when God says wait. All right? Sometimes God just will show you a step at a time. You know, the people of Israel, there's a verse of scripture, a psalm, that says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." The Jewish people used to have, some of them had sandals that would have, I know it sounds strange, but they had candles latched onto their sandals. They didn't have flashlights, iPhones, they could, you know, they were walking in the dark. They had a lot of candles. They lit a candle. They had candles on their feet. And every, you know how far they would walk? They would walk as far as their light would go. Step at a time. You take a step. Take a step. "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." How far do you walk? Well, the Word of God will show you the step. I don't know which way to turn. The Word of God will show you the step that you need to take next into an uncertain world. Let me hurry and finish up. God leads you by stages. Don't miss the stage. Don't parent. If you parent a child that is in middle school in the same way that you parented a child that was in elementary school, you will frustrate that child. In fact, the Bible has another word for it. You will exasperate your child. Parents that exasperate their children are parents who don't pass, they don't lead in the stages they're supposed to be in. They're out of their stage. You're out of your lane, okay? Don't miss the stage. Watch your step. Watch your steps. Make sure that the steps that you're taking, God is leading you to take those steps. All right, we all need to hear that. You may be, you have nothing to do with parenting. Maybe just in your life right now, you need to know, God, what are the steps you want me to take? And when we know that God's going to lead our steps, listen, all of this begins to reduce our anxiety. We're not missing the stages. We're following His steps. But here's the big thing. God said, Joshua, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Do you know why we get anxious, folks? Because we forget that the presence of the Lord is with us. We forget. Now, folks, listen, you're not going to do parenting perfectly. No perfect parents out there. There's nobody that knows how to do this. Nobody, you know, one pastor's wife put it this, she said, you know, in parenting, the days are long, but the years are short. You don't have a lot of time. And you're going to make mistakes. Nobody knows how to do this. You know, I don't know about you. The hospital we went to, when they put us in the car with my daughter, our firstborn, I remember that was the longest drive home. We lived like 10 minutes from the hospital. That was like, I felt like I'd driven for eternity. You know, so slow. I want to make sure, you know, you don't want to mess up. You know, I want to wreck the car the first time the baby was in the car. Scared me to death. And it should scare you some. But they didn't give you an instruction booklet to say, oh, by the way, do this, and you'll be okay. You know why? Because nobody knows how to raise your child. Nobody's ever raised your child before, so you are the expert on your child. Kids are not the same. Even if you have three kids, they're all three different, right? Three triplets, really different. But there's no perfect parents. Get off your back, okay? None of us know how to do this. But that's why you need to be on your knees and sometimes on your face before the Lord saying, Lord, show me the steps I need to take. Show me what your word tells me to do. Lord, assure me that your presence is with me. You know, this is the thing. We are moving into an uncertain, volatile, complex, and ambiguous world. But let me tell you, what is not uncertain, what is not ambiguous, what is not complex, and what's not volatile. Your Father, your Heavenly Father is not that way. What does the Bible say? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Could you say amen to that, church? Amen. Jesus Christ doesn't change. Everything's different. Everything, yes, it is. Jesus Christ didn't change. He said, heaven and earth will pass away. My word will not pass away. So you trust the Lord's presence. You trust the word of the Lord. You walk in those steps. He will give you His peace instead of anxiety. If you're having to always go, I'm not sure which way to go, you're going to live in anxiety and you're going to raise anxious children. But if you know the presence of the Lord is going before you, you don't have to be anxious anymore. You're not in charge of your kids. He is. Won't you say, Father, what do you want me to do? I love the way Tony Evans put it, a meme I saw this week. He said, you know, the Lord never guarantees that your life will not take a detour, but He will always be in the car with you. You will never be alone. And that's exactly what God said to Joshua. I will not leave you or forsake you. The presence of the Lord will guide you. So you follow the Lord in stages. You follow the Lord in steps. And you follow the Lord by His presence. And again, I'm very grateful for Dr. Morgan's insights on that. I'm not an expert. But I know this. I know if you are not anxious, your children won't be anxious. If you're following the Lord in the way that you know He wants you to go, you will not be anxious. And if they see you not being anxious, they won't be anxious. And that's what we want to get to. Maybe today you just need to walk down front here in a moment and just say, you know, Pastor, I need somebody to pray with me. We don't know what we're doing. We're scared of some things with our kids. Maybe you have kids that are prodigals. They're out of control. They feel like things are not going well. Listen, come down front. Let us pray with you. We'll have people down here to meet you. Go to the Cove tables. There's places that you can sign up and say, you know, there's some people that can help you, that'll walk alongside this with you. Please don't walk out of here today without peace, without help. And most of all, if you do not know Jesus Christ as the one who is guiding your life, leading your steps, being the reality of the presence of the Lord with you, if you do not know God in you, not a religion. I don't want you to join a church and join a religion. That's not what we're about. We want you to have a relationship with the Lord that comes by grace through faith when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You confess your sins, your faults, your failures, and you allow Him to change you. You do that, and your life will not be anxious anymore. So you come today if that's what you need. I want to ask us to pray. Father, now just have your way in every heart, every life, every family, every home. I know, Father, that there are some parents here that are in crisis, that their life is so confusing, chaotic, such a mess right now. They really need your help. And maybe even there are some who are struggling with abuse and some who are being hurt and some who are hurting others. I pray that you will help us, Lord, to love our families well, to raise our children well, to do so wisely. And when it's time to release them, and we release children into this world that are not anxious children, that are able to confidently trust their God, their Creator, their Lord. So have your way in every family, every home, every heart. We ask this in Jesus' name. You come now. Stand together.